Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you. I'm Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into bait and switch. That's why I call it BS, or you might think of other terms for it. But I just simply believe that love alone is the most credible value available to us to avoid BS, to avoid baiting and switching and acting as if we're one thing when we're really another. Love alone keeps us in a steady forward pace, being able to look people straight in the eye and be truthful and honest and real, authentic, be our truest selves. And so that's why I'm here every week here on the No BS Bishop, to encourage you to join me in the pursuit of being alive to love and truly dead to all other values that will only captivate us into some kind of absolute abusive way of living. Love will lift us up above all abuses. And so here on this broadcast, Alive to Love, I lead us in a couple of exercises, actually three or four of them, to keep us moving forward in this pilgrimage, in this mountain climb, in this marathon of love. Love is not easy peasy. Love is not some kind of cliche. You can't just throw the word love out there and act like you've done anything. We must, and this is today's theme, we must learn how to rescue love from silly sentiment. The silly sentiment of thinking that it's just a matter of feeling it or thinking it or even just saying it. And while I'm a big fan of saying it, I'm even more of a fan of living it deeply, profoundly, rooted down deep in the core of our being. So we practice a few things here. And one of the first things we do is we practice repeating together in a contemplative mode, love's creed. A creed that I wrote several years ago as a New Year's resolution, and I've edited it over the years. And it comes down to this, and I'll share that with you in a moment in total. Then I'll come back at it and have you repeat after me in short bursts like vows at a wedding altar. Then right after that, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Yet another stationing, anchoring means of holding our life stable through all the storms of life. All right, let's go back to Love's Creed. Let me read it in total, then I'll have you repeat after me afterwards. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it in total. If you'd like a copy of that, I'd be happy to send you one if you write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase letters, @gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy. And I promise you, I'm not going to bait and switch you. I'm not going to BS you by getting you on a mailing list and then switching over to some more alternative priority or attitude. All right, here we go. I'll give you a burst of Love's Creed, then you repeat after me, because I think it's so important for your ears to hear what your own mouth is saying. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams and designs. Locked into anything and everything. That is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I live by that. I embrace that. I repeat that for myself often. I hold on tight through the night to these words that I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. No matter what the motivation for hate might be, count me out, count me in for love. Well, let me lead you in the Lord's Prayer now. Let me explain briefly here that I know that many of you may not have the Lord's Prayer memorized. Some of us out there have faked our way through it, acting like we knew it by just moving our lips while we were saying the words. But I'm not going to ask you to do that. If you don't know it by heart, sure, you can try, but don't pretend. Just follow me and let me pray on your behalf this most prayed prayer in human history. On the other hand, if you do know it, it's valuable to agree with me and join with me in the words of Jesus. Jesus always gets his prayers answered. And here are the words of Jesus when he taught us to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I love those delicious words. They resonate powerfully down on the depths of my soul. I cling to those words many, many days. In fact, I would say every day on some level, I cling to those words. I urge you to pray the Lord's Prayer as often as it comes to your mind. Well, today, as I said earlier, I want to talk to you about rescuing love from silly sentiment. Silly sentiments like just elbowing somebody and say, hey, I love you. That's silly. That's shrinking down the value of the words that should be good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I love you. It's amazing what it does in a person's face when they're in need of love, and even the person that might be caught off guard by those words. It's amazing how people settle back and realize, oh my goodness, I needed that. So I want to ask you to join me. I want to challenge you to join me in this pursuit of love that is deeper and more, really more hard work than what we have given it credit for, and really and truly a life-saving lifestyle. Barbara Brown Taylor is an Episcopal priest who wrote several books. She's a beautiful author. But she wrote this quote that I'm going to use here to help balance me in pursuing this rescuing love from silly sentiment. But here's what Barbara Brown Taylor said. The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being, not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself if you will allow it. What significant, weighty words those are. But simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself. You see, what she's describing there, to encounter other human beings, not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control. I would add recruit. I would add convert. I would add entice. I would add examine, advise. And I'm going to tell you all of those descriptors are about a sickness called codependency. It's about It's about living your life with someone else's needs in mind and then controlling them or using them or trying to fix them or manage them. No. Loving others in the truest definition of unconditional love is something that'll set you and me free from the prison of self. To rescue love from our silly sentiments and to raise it to a level of useful spiritual passion is really about becoming people of something that knows that love for others, whether they be friends or neighbors or even enemies, love for others will spring me. It'll spring you from the prison of yourself, prison of selfishness. So that's the first thing I want to talk to you about here in this rescuing love from silly sentiment. Truly loving others at all levels for all people is really a selfish unselfishness. Did you catch that? It's really a selfish unselfishness. The unselfishness of that kind of love is really self-serving at some level. And I don't mean self-serving in the worst possible way. I mean, it serves you well, like eating nutritious food, like doing something of exercise or reading a book. Those are means of selfishness that are helpful because you're serving yourself with nutritious, emotional, psychological, and physical nutrition. So it is with love that is rescued from silly sentiment. Love is a selfish unselfishness because you're really truly serving your own self in a powerful and good way, calling yourself out of your own pains to see someone else as valued and valuable. Secondly, this kind of approach in rescuing love from silly sentiment is a call to a transcendent target, far above all of our entanglements and our rage. Rage, oh boy, if it wasn't for rage, there's a whole chunk of religious folks who wouldn't have any energy. They got to rage at all the bad people. They got to rage at all the people they think are going to hell and taking others to people to hell. They got to rage about how bad people are, sick and wrong, and the rage just continues. But unfortunately, that rage has replaced real, authentic, heavy-lifting love. The power of rage it'll be useful for a moment, but it will use you up. But real love that's above silly sentiments, love is a transcendent target above the abyss of rage. It's above the abyss of entanglements. Oh my, our culture needs to take a deep breath. Here in the United States, we've been entangled in political pursuits and angry fights across the philosophical political divide. The notion of healthy compromise has been lost when we are so trapped in our entanglements. We're entangled in "I'm right, you're wrong, shut up, sit down, let's talk." That nonsense is just eating us alive. It's time for there to come to us some practice of love that raises us above our self and our selfishness, our need to be right and to prove all others wrong. Do you know that when you prove others wrong in your own mind and you prove how desperately wrong they are, your ego takes a great big gulp of "I love me and nobody else." Our egos are served by shutting down the opposition and just refusing to have a conversation or to on any level have a healthy compromise. That's an entanglement. When we raise love from the ideas of silly sentiments, we will find a transcendent target, a target far and away above the shallow abyss of entanglement and rage. Well, this third part that I want to share with you, it involves a little phrase that, and quite frankly, I borrow this from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration of the United States. It's, for the lack of a better way to say it, it's SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Awareness Administration. They have listed a little phrase. Now, Ginger, she's listening right now. Brace yourself. They list existential dread. she when she hears me say that, she kind of gives me a look like, don't overuse this, and I'll do my best, dear. And for those of you who've heard me say this before, hopefully you're grinning with me, but the idea of existential dread, I think, is best described as that cloud of darkness and fear and worry that drops in on you as an unwelcome middle-of-the-night visitor. When you roll over at 2 or 3 in the morning and you awaken from a sound sleep, and then suddenly you feel this intangible, dreadful sense of wrong. That's existential, which is to say it's non-tangible. It's not even real, but it's there. It's real because you can feel it. It's this feeling of dreadful, something dreadful is hanging out there. Something bad is going to happen. You can't even define it, but you just feel it. But I'm convinced, I am utterly convinced, that when I turn my thoughts toward love, I can lift myself out of that fog of existential dread. According to SAMHSA, that thousands, millions of people in our nation, really worldwide, suffer from existential dread without any real practical purpose or practice. Well, I'd like to offer my own purpose and practice, and that is to find love in the middle of the night when you feel that dread. Here's what I mean by that. When we have this generalized anxiety, if we can use that anxiety as a signal, as a flag waving at us to say, ask this question, who do I love and what do I love? Not who loves me, because that could feed your dread. That could feed your anxiety. That could turn toward, well, maybe nobody loves me. And we don't need to go down that path at 2 or 3 in the morning. What we do need to do is ask ourselves, who do I love? What do I love? Well, my answer here right in this moment is I love doing this radio broadcast. I'm very proud of this project. It's over 5 years in the works, and I am super pleased to come here every week to record another episode of Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop. I love doing this. That's what I love. Who do I love? Well, I love my wife. I love my wife dearly. 50 years of practicing and working toward the high purpose, the transcendency of love, has been a great reward in our life. I love our children. I think of my children in those nights when I feel existential dread. I remind myself, I've got two adult children. We have two adult children that we love desperately and dearly. We have 6 grandchildren with another one coming on the way, and we love our grandbabies. And you know what? Here's another one for you. We love our little dog. I believe dogs are God's gift to human beings. When they can find love of a little fur baby, a little pup, we have found something that is truly, genuinely nature's gift. Our little dog Dixie, when she's deep asleep in the middle of the night and my dread might keep me awake, I focus on her little nose snoring while she's in her deep sleep, and it brings a smile to my face. I'm smiling right now thinking about it, and I realize, oh, I love that little dog. In fact, every day I say, I love you, little dog. So all of that is to say, you know, bear with me in my little folly there. All of that is to say, when you feel anxiety on you with no real tangible reason for it, even with tangible, remind yourself, who do I love? What do I love? Put your focus there. Raise love from silly sentiment and make love the most eminently practical purpose of your life. Let every day be another day to rise and shine with love, to release yourself from your own prison, as I mentioned from Barbara Brown Taylor earlier. Be released from that prison and rise to the purposes of love. Make love your daily project, your daily reminder, your daily to-do. Do love today and do it as well as you know how. So that brings me to what we do here every No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. We do a couple of things as a practice to bring us in for a landing for this particular, all of our episodes. And so I want to keep it in the order that we do it. And first of all, I want to teach you how to breathe. I do. I want you to breathe well. I want you to slow down the anxious thoughts. I want you to rise and shine to something other than rapid breathing or shallow breathing, really. And I want you to practice what it feels like to take a good, healthy, deep breath. Now, you can make this a longer practice than what we have time for here. And you can do it off and on through any given day. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest, healthiest breath you know how. To draw that air into your lungs and push it down against your diaphragm right down to your belly and hold it there for a few seconds. All right? One, two, three. Inhale. Hold that. And exhale. I believe if you can do that for about 5 minutes a day, sprinkled throughout the day, you're going to feel better. You'll drop your blood pressure points, maybe just by a few and maybe by a lot over time. But good breathing will make for good loving. Because your mind is racing, breathing will slow your mind down and get you to focus on the most essential human practice that we have, and that is breathing. You can't live without breathing. The breath of life is what God gave to Adam when Adam was first created. The breath of life started life, and the breath of life will grow and continue life. Now, the second practice is giving ourselves a chance to raise love from silly sentiments. And in this practice, I'm asking you to join me in a daily routine of making it more than a routine, really, that you say to somebody somewhere in various venues and places and times, giving them full eye contact, full attention, and real authenticity and intentionality, and say the three most charmed, magical, beautiful, and holy words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. So if you want to talk about how breathing slows our thoughts and life down and how breathing can drop our blood pressure, I really think saying, I love you, lowers our blood pressure, slows us down, gets us into the moment. So that if somebody's looking at you in the eye when you say that, you're regulating your attentiveness and you're paying close attention to how this person is in need of your love. I know it's weird. I know it's startling. I know it's awkward. I know all of that. I've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt for it, and literally I do. I'm telling you, though, that this very practice may very well be the salvation of our society. Not in Christ's kind of salvation, but in the salvation of practice, in the salvation of purpose, in the salvation of being rescued from silly sentiments. Let's love deeply. Let's love purposefully. Let's love in reality. You know, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we have more time, and we need to learn how to be present, to be kind, love more, love now. Mother Teresa once said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And here's Randy Dean telling you, let's rise and shine and do something beautiful. Why? because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. Name calling's getting done to death. Insults are being done to death. It's time for people like you and like me to rise and shine in the power of love and in the manner of love that is doing something beautiful, turning this tide of ugliness into a sweeping tidal wave of love, making love better than silly sentiments. Join me, will you please? And again, the worst mistake we can make is thinking we have time. No, we don't. We need to be present in every moment. We need to be kind in every moment. We must love more, and we must love now, ladies and gentlemen. I so appreciate the honor and the privilege of having this half an hour of your life and time, and I trust that you've gotten something that will spring you from the prison of yourself, if you'll let it, and that is to love your neighbor, and yes, even love your enemy as yourself, and you will spring yourself from your own self-made prison. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love, and I am calling you to join me in that life of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.